This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Yik with Kelly Anissa and Juliet Jacobs. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there was a black hole. And astronomers, have finally captured its first ever picture. So we'll be discussing that in our first story.
And we've all done this at least once before, visiting Dr. Google for a diagnosis. So researchers are unraveling the psychological reasons why some people relentlessly self-diagnose themselves online for hours a day.
Yes, and in connection with that, you know, over on Twitter, we are asking you, do you Google your medical symptoms? Yes or no? And do tell us more about why you do it, if you do, and why you think it's a bad idea if you don't. You can always join us, join the conversation, tweet us at BFM Radio, send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900.
But first, here's the Beatles with Across the Universe.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was the Beatles with Across the Universe. And across our universe, 55 million light years from Earth, we've seen something at the heart of Messier 87 galaxy.
Yes, the first picture ever taken of a black hole. And it is truly a monster. It measures 40 billion kilometers across. That's 3 million times the size of the Earth. And the breakthrough image was captured by the Event Horizon Telescope, or EHT as it's known, a network of 8 radio telescopes spanning locations from Antarctica to Spain and Chile. And this was an effort that involved more than 200 scientists. And here's Shepard Dolman, the director of the EHT and senior research fellow at Harvard University, at the press conference yesterday.
In April of 2017, all the dishes in the Event Horizon Telescope swiveled, turned, and stared at a galaxy 55 million light years away. It's called Messier 87, or M87. And there's a supermassive black hole at its core. And we are delighted to be able to report to you today that we have seen what we thought was unseeable. We have seen and taken a picture of a black hole. What you're seeing here is the last photon orbit. What you are seeing is evidence of an event horizon. By laying a ruler across this black hole, we now have visual evidence for a black hole. And as with all great discoveries, this is just the beginning.
So a black hole is a region of space with nothing, not even a light, not even light can escape. So despite the name, a black hole is not an empty hole. Instead, it consists of a huge amount of matter packed densely into a small area. So this gives it an immense gravitational pull.
Yes, and scientists have been able to predict what a black hole would look like based on Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity, which was postulated back in 1915. And Einstein predicted that gravity can warp the fabric of space-time. Mm-hmm. So based on that theory, scientists figured what a black hole should do to the light around it.
Yes, and it's all been predictions and simulations up until now. So we've never seen an actual image of a black hole before. And to be truly pedantic about it, the picture that has shook the universe does not actually show the black hole, but rather its shadow.
So to help us understand more, black hole shadow and all that.
What is all of this? Yeah.
Let's hear from a Malaysian astrophysicist involved in the Event Horizon Telescope collaboration, Dr. Kevin Kuih Jun Yi. Dr. Kevin is a postdoctoral fellow with the Institute of Astronomy and Astrophysics, the Academia Sinica in Taiwan. I caught up with him this morning, fresh off the back of this exciting news. So, Dr. Kevin, can you briefly explain that iconic image that almost everyone around the world has seen now?
Okay, so basically what we did as a collaboration, we used a global network of 8 telescopes around the world to create a kind of a virtual telescope the size of the Earth, which enabled to get a very high-resolution image. So that has about 20 micro-arcsecond resolution, which is like about a billionth of a degree. Kind of equivalent to like seeing a golf ball on the moon from the Earth. You know? So with this high resolution, we actually could capture the first ever image of the silhouette of the black hole. Yeah.
And you call it the silhouette of the black hole. Can you explain what that means? What are we looking at?
Okay, so, you know, we of course, we can't see the black hole itself because you know, light cannot escape from its gravity. But what we can see is the gas and all the stuff that's falling, you know, around the black hole or around, it's around the black hole. And this light is sort of bent around the black hole due to the strong gravity. So we're just seeing the what we call the shadow or silhouette of the black hole imprinted on the surrounding gas.
Why have we not been able to get a picture of a black hole before this?
Yeah, so actually some of my older colleagues, you know, people like Shep, you know, the director of the EHT, they've actually been working on this project for like, you know, almost or maybe more than two decades. Some of the early experiments, you know, in the early 2000s were done using like just three telescopes. So to observe at this frequency, you know, it's very difficult because the water in our atmosphere actually absorbs all the signals from space at this frequency. And at that time, there was only like about three telescopes that could observe at this frequency. And these telescopes, they need to be built at very high and very dry sites, which tend to be very inhospitable. And, you know, with only three telescopes, there's actually not enough information to make into an image. You know, like I said, we're trying to make this virtual telescope the size of the Earth. And there's a lot of missing information. So in the last, you know, decade, many more of these telescopes have been built, for example, in Antarctica, in, you know, the Atacama Desert in Chile and in Mexico. So now we have, you know, eight telescopes. And with these eight telescopes, we can fill in a lot of missing information. And now we actually have enough information to make an image.
Okay. And, you know, the eight different telescopes looked at M87 back in April 2017. And now we have seen the actual image and what has coalesced out of that. Can you explain what took place between April and now to give us that image?
Okay, so after the observations, of course, the first thing that had to be done was to ship the data to a central location to process. So from all these telescopes, it generated about like a few petabytes of data. That's like a few thousand terabytes of data. Mm-hmm. And there's too much data to actually transfer it through the internet. So we had to ship the disks to the MIT in Boston and also to the Max Planck Institute in Germany, where there are supercomputers where they can sort of combine all these data from the different telescopes. Of course, for the South Pole, they had to wait longer until September, October, because in winter, you know, there are no flights leaving Antarctica. So they had to wait to October before the data could be shipped there. So once, you know, all the data were there in the two locations, you know, they processed, calibrated the data. I mean, sort of taking out a lot of atmospheric effects because these telescopes are all around the Earth, right? And the atmosphere above these different telescopes are different because the Earth is rotating and all this, so we need to correct for all these small detail differences in the data. And then, of course, we took many months just to check the quality of the data. You know, if we find any errors, we have to go back and do everything again. And I think we did that like over a few rounds. Mm-hmm. So that took us like just about 1 year just to, you know, process the data and calibrate the data. And in the meantime, we have to develop, you know, new tools and software as well, because we found that, you know, some of the existing astronomy software that we had was inadequate to handle this kind of unique data from the EHT. And of course, once we're satisfied, we start making the images. And to do that, we first divided ourselves into like four independent teams. And each team will make our own image, and there was to be no communication between the different teams. So that we try to avoid like human bias, you know. And like about a month later, we started comparing our images, and then we see that, okay, all our images are consistent. So we have the higher confidence that what we are seeing is, you know, not something we are making up ourselves.
And, you know, you are based in the Institute of Astronomy and Astrophysics in Taiwan. What was your contribution to this collaboration?
Okay, so I was part of the team that was processing the data. Mm-hmm. And also I was in one of those four independent teams making the images. Also, during the observations in 2017, April, I was one of the team members observing at the James Clerk Maxwell Telescope. So that's on Mauna Kea in Hawaii.
What else will the EHT be used to look for after this?
Yeah, so actually in 2017, we observed a few other objects, also mostly supermassive black holes. And we're still analyzing the data. And of course, we also made some observations in 2018. And of course, the next object we want to look at, I mean, which we have already observed, we are still analyzing the data, is Sagittarius A star. And that's the supermassive black hole in the center of our own galaxy. But of course, now we have a picture, right? We also want to make movies. So we want to continue observing like M87 as well in the next few years, just to see actually how this structure that we see, this ring structure, how it changes over time. So we can study, you know, how stuff, you know, falls into the black hole and how the gas, the magnetic field, and how gravity all interact together, you know, around the black hole. So,
and why is this image, or why is the understanding of how black holes work, significant for our understanding of the universe?
So for a long time, scientists, we have believed that, you know, black holes exist. But most of this is true in direct evidence. You know, we see the orbits of stars around the center of galaxies. And I think a few, 2 years ago, there was this big news about the detection of gravitational waves,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, this was released when two black holes collided and the gravity group detected that. But now, you know, we actually, for the first time, have direct visual evidence that black holes exist and they are real. You know, so we can, you know, people like to say seeing is believing. Like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, after more than 100 years since Einstein came up with his theory of general relativity, we still haven't managed to prove him wrong. You know, his theory still holds up, you know, even in the most extreme region in the universe, you know, where the gravity is the strongest. Of course, it would have been even more groundbreaking if he had shown Einstein to be wrong, but, you know, I think it just shows that Einstein is still right as far as we can tell. Yeah.
So how does it feel to be involved in this?
Yeah, I think I feel humbled and privileged, I think, to be part of this significant milestone, you know, in human history.
That was Dr. Kevin Kwe Junyi, a postdoctoral fellow with the Institute of Astronomy and Astrophysics in Academia Sinica in Taiwan, our very own Malaysian astrophysicist, part of what he called this moment in history. So many cool things about this, just apart from what we are seeing, this image, but also the whole process that went into it, you know, the amount of effort that went into producing the image, things like, you know, I'm reading about astronomers battling bad weather, you know, on that day in April 2017 when they did the observation, across 4 days, I think. Mm. They had to do things like, you know, wear oxygen tanks, climb mountains 3 miles high to escape the interference of Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah, and the sheer amount of data is as much as 5,000 hours of MP3 music files. Can you imagine?
Yes. Yeah. And like the old school way of transferring the data, which is storing them on hard drives and then shipping them on planes. So the hard drives from the South Pole had to be defrosted at MIT.
And just on Tuesday on this show, we talked about women in STEM. And here's another one to add to the list. Katie Bowman from Caltech came up with the new algorithm that stitches together all the data collected across the EHD network. And she has been studying at MIT when she did this. And, you know, you can find her TED Talk online to find out more.
Yeah, so there are lots of
milestones.
Yes, lots of milestones for all of humankind.
Yeah. It's just the beginning, yes.
As Sharp said. If you have any thoughts to share about the first ever image of the black hole, you can tweet us or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. And also on Twitter.
Yeah, so we're asking you, do you Google your medical symptoms? So your options are just yes or no. So tweet us. You know, you could also tell us more about why you do it or why you think it's a bad idea. So tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
After the break, we'll talk about cyberchondrics. But first, here's Muse celebrating the supermassive black hole right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.